Good evening. This is a regular session of the Rome Common Council. The date is March 26, 2025, and the time is 7 p.m. Mr. Seal, please call the roll.
Counselor Sprace.
Present.
Counselor Mortis.
Present.
Counselor Fazio.
Present.
Counselor Smith.
Here.
Counselor Anderson.
Present.
Counselor Dursey.
Present.
Counselor Spraglia.
Present. Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic which stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The invocation will be given by President Nash. Heavenly Father, inspire our thoughts and discussions today. Fill us with creativity, insight, and a shared vision for the good of all. Let our work honor you and serve others. Amen.
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 This time, the meeting is now open to the public. You have the opportunity to appear before the council and present your views concerning city affairs. If you wish to speak, please step up to the back microphone, state your name and address, and limit yourself to 5 minutes. And also, please sign in on the speaker sheet as that helps us with the record. We are ready for our first speaker.
Hello. Do I need to say my name for you?
Name and address, please.
Name's Jamie McCoppin. My address is 10609 Sulphur Springs Road, Lee Center, New York. I'm curious to why the city would want to demolish a house on North George Street. I submitted a bid to try to purchase the home, and I was told it's being demolished for a parking lot. I've seen many properties demolished for parking lots, including my own family home. And I don't understand why a home that sits plumb and square as the day it was built, with not even a trace of damage from this winter, not even a brick falling off from the two chimneys, is on a demolition list to be a parking lot. That's my concern. I'd like to have some answers on why they would not allow someone to rebuild the home back to its glory.
We can't go back and forth right now. So a counselor may bring it up during the report of counselors, but we can't talk back and forth.
Okay. Thank you.
Next speaker, please.
Hi. Janine Bongiorno, helping 204 and a half Elm Street, Rome. I have two concerns. One is, what's going to happen when the federal government and all their dismay with their doing, taking apart everything that they're doing, is when they're going to stop giving the state's money. The state's got to go to the county. County's got to go to the city. Are their taxes going to go up enormously? It's like a filter down syndrome that a lot of people are worried about. Went to a town hall with our congressperson, and she was a no-show. So you can't get answers. All the stuff that they're doing in Washington, you know, they don't want to fund this, that, and the other thing. The other thing is, I went to a council meeting last week for 5th, 6th, and 7th council. There was a gentleman that was very vocal in the 5th ward, and he was complaining about houses that he, in his opinion, were being upkept, and there was personal stuff outside that they didn't like. Well, I was doing some petitioning around that neighborhood and some other neighborhoods. I was on Embargo Street. There was a house that was torn down because it was tornado damage. It was never cleaned up afterwards. When I was walking down the street, because you couldn't go on the sidewalk because of some snow still there, there was a board with nails in it. And then when I came back to my car, I was parked on the other side of the street. There was a nail in the road, which I gave over to a guy that was in charge of people repairing two houses that were damaged and people wanted to move back in. And there was a house that was torn down on Washington Street, which wasn't cleaned up. Now, if these people want to complain about other people in the neighborhood, why don't we, the city, have like a volunteer, probably I don't know if there's any money for it, like a neighborhood watch type of thing to teach people that they, you know, they don't like what they have in their yard, help them to build up esteem and pride in their property. And I don't know if we're going to have the, you did have, you know, you went around your neighborhoods and gave somebody a sign that they had a beautiful yard type of thing. I don't know if that's still in use or not, but people need to, maybe if you can, instead of driving around your neighborhood, got out and walked. I don't know. They used to have a walk. I know this, the mayor had a walk. I don't know if they still continue that. If you go walk around your neighborhood and see what's actually on the ground, because there's a lot of stuff because of the snow that got covered. I'm just saying that, you know, people need to help people. Okay, that's all.
Thank you, Jan. Next speaker, please.
Good evening, Kelly Lubeck, Ridge Street. I have had several conversations with Counselor Fazio. Unfortunately, she hasn't gotten an answer, I don't believe. I would like to know if we're just going to leave the warehouse on Ridge Street the way it is, or are we going to clean it up? So when we're not looking out our windows, we're seeing the Sanford and Son junkyard, the homeless people, the drug addicts. It's just absolutely disgusting. Other places in other parts of the city, their buildings are being repaired, the properties are being cleaned up. And are we just going to be the normal left out orphans in South Rome again? It's just very disheartening that this building is just completely demolished, but half of it is still standing. And are you guys going to make the owners tear it down, or what's going to happen with it? It's going to be summer. The kids are going to be out playing. I know there's a fence around part of it, but if you go in the back, it's wide open. And I would just hope that we're going to do something about it so our part of the city can look decent too. I think it's very disheartening that stuff in South Rome is just seems to not be on anybody's to-do list. Also, another thing I would like to bring up is I'm suggesting that we have busing or a shuttle for the kids who live too far away to utilize the parks with the pools. We are supposed to have a splash pad at the Greasick, as I think that's what it's called, down on South James, and then heard that it was no longer going to happen. These kids, my neighbor has 7 children who take 20 minutes to walk to Pennyfield so they can use a pool. They are crossing the boulevards. And I don't, you know, those children deserve what all the other children in the city have. They can go to Franklin Field or Pennyfield or over to Kennedy to utilize the pools. But these children on this side of the boulevard, what do they have? Again, South Rome. Does anybody care about those kids? A couple of years ago, I don't have any children in school no longer, but I went to a board meeting to fight to get the South Rome kids school lunches in South Rome because they didn't have any. You know, why is it that South Rome is always neglected? I just hope that you guys take into consideration that if we can spend money on other things for all the other children in the city that maybe we could spend a little money on the children in South Rome. I don't think it would be hard to have a shuttle bus in the morning to meet at like South Rome Senior Center or something that the kids could hop on a shuttle and go to the park and get their lunch and be able to enjoy the pools. That's all I have to say, and I really hope that, you know, we can get South Rome on the map with the rest of the city. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Kelly. Next speaker, please.
Dennis Perfetti, 506 West Thomas. Commissioner Giuliano, thank you for having the DPW take the Christmas lights down, because on Facebook, that was a major tragedy that they weren't down a little bit earlier. The hell with the 30 inches of snow we got. The lights should have been down the day after Christmas. Thank you for that. The second thing, tonight I noticed we're voting on the fire truck, the infamous fire truck that Mayor Lanigan canceled. So before we vote on that, maybe we can get some foresight into why that fire truck really hasn't been ordered yet or wasn't taken care of yet. I think that'll be interesting. You have a lot of people that want to tell you why, and well, basically they don't know the answer why, but they're guessing. I thought there'd be a lot more people here, because I'll tell you what, there are a lot of people on Facebook that got some brilliant ideas. And if they got any questions, they can come and see me. I'll tell them how to get it started. It's going to probably cost them $400,000 or $500,000. They certainly can open up a business in the city of Rome.
Thanks, Dennis. Next speaker, please.
Hi, I'm Bonnie Platt from Liberty Gardens. My one question is City of Rome having cleanup day in April? Or they're not doing it anymore? Thank you.
All set.
You're all set, yeah.
Rockapony, Fifth Ward.
Yeah, could I have your address, please?
616 Ashland Ave. About the fire truck, my opinion, I don't think it's infamous. I think it's something important that we need to talk about. My only question with the fire truck is, I know the money was put aside a few years ago from ARPA. I know Councilor Dursey talked about it at the previous meeting and said the previous administration didn't follow up with it. I know it's supposed to go through the council, whether you're going to vote to use it or not. My only question would be, where did the money go for that was designated for it? And what is the long-term process on this? Do we expect costs to go up with the 1.2 with the way tariffs are and everything else going on? But I think that's a very important thing to talk about as a fire truck. I think public safety would be important to anybody sitting up there. But that would be my only question, is where did the money go that was put aside for that fire truck go? And why was it never brought to the council floor to be voted on? Thank you.
Thank you, Rick. Next speaker, please. Is there anyone else that wishes to speak? Public session is closed. The chair will entertain a motion that the reading of the minutes of the preceding session be dispensed with and that they be approved.
So moved.
Second.
Councilor Smith and Councilor Sprace. Moved and seconded. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Presentation of petitions and communications.
Mr. President, members of the council, I don't have any communications tonight.
Report of city officials. Commissioner White. Public Safety Commissioner White.
President Nash, members of the council, I want to speak tonight in favor of Ordinance 9774 and furnish a little background on it. The $1.2 million that's being requested tonight is for the purpose of a new pump trunk for the fire department. This new pump trunk will replace a reserve 1995 pump trunk that often requires thousands of dollars a year in maintenance to keep it operational. The state recommends that the frontline fire department pump trucks be replaced every 10 years. The reserve trucks, once they're put in reserve, 10 years after that. This 1995 pump truck is well past its time for replacement. Even if this funding is approved tonight, it will take anywhere between 2.5 to 3 years to have this truck ordered, built, painted, equipped, and delivered for service. This is a long time to rely on a 1995 pump truck as a reserve truck. Now, I'm not a fireman, but I'm sure Chief Garach, Councilor Mortis can tell you how important it is to have a reliable truck to pump water at an active fire scene. This new truck is not a luxury item for the fire department. It is a vital piece of equipment that the fire department needs so they can provide the excellent service they deliver to this community every day. So how did we get here? The keyboard warriors of social media and misinformed radio talk show hats would have you believe that Mayor Lanigan came into office and eliminated the funding for this new truck, and that he canceled the order that had already been submitted for the truck. Nothing could be further from the truth. The truth of the matter is the previous administration was quoted a price of $650,000 to replace this truck in 2021. They failed to act on that, and the price went up to $850,000 by the end of 2023. The previous administration, after losing the election, failed again to act on this and passed the financial challenge on to Mayor Lanigan and his new administration. This showed poor leadership and fiscal irresponsibility to the city taxpayers. The community deserved better, and they voiced their opinion at the ballot box. The cost of this truck is now double that it was quoted in 2021. Mayor Lanigan has always made public safety a top priority. He was working on finding the funding for this new truck when the tornado hit our community. The tornado in the aftermath halted many projects and expenditures, the new pump truck being one of them. The mayor and Treasurer Adams have worked very hard to bring this ordinance in front of you today. I know you are aware of how important it is, and I respectfully ask that you please vote in favor of it. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner. Any further reports? Report of councilors. Councilor Anderson.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. If I may, can I ask some questions to DPW Commissioner Giuliano?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay.
Commissioner?
Joe, just want to touch on the green waste notice that was sent out on March 24th. And I was wondering, this way I don't misspeak, could you explain how that's starting on April 7th and, you know, basically what the notice said for the benefits of everybody here in the audience as well as the people at home? I think the more we get the word out, the better. In a similar sense, if you could have that notice on the website, I didn't notice it on the website. I happen to get it off of social media. So if you could speak to that, and then I have a question about green waste after you get done.
Councilor Anderson, members of the Common Council, the April 7th start date for the green waste is our annual green waste curbside collection program. This is the containerized program. We will start on that Monday. Your green waste should be out the day before your regular solid waste pickup day. Nothing has changed with that over the years. It's always it's been that way traditionally for a while now. The containerized portion is described in that notice. It has weight limits. It has some size limits on branches. I don't have it right in front of me, so I don't want to speak of those limits right now. It has a 50-pound limit and a 6-foot length, and it described the notice describes how to properly put out the green waste so that our guys, our DPW crews, can handle those green waste pickups safely and in an orderly fashion and get those done on a routine trip.
Okay. And in driving around past couple of days, I noticed there were a lot of people who raked their leaves to the curb. And unfortunately, it's a fight against Mother Nature every fall. There's a number of houses that have the leaves still there. in the fall, of course, the city's going through with the Bobcat and the men do a good job of the cleanup there. Will they be doing that cleanup? I know you wanted to focus on containerized green waste, but there's a lot of people, actually their bags have been ripped because it went through this snow and stuff like that.
Yes, Councilor Anderson, to address the loose collection, we haven't put together, Tommy Jones and I, the street superintendent, have not put together a program of bulk pickup right now. If we see a need, we may get to that point. For now, we're going to ask people to containerize those if at all possible. The piles that we've seen so far, we have tried to attack some loose piles already just with various crews without the snow now. We can pick some of those up, and we've picked some of those up on demand by calls or the 311 app. We are not picking all those up because we don't have a routine for that yet. We don't have the whole crews ready. So we'll address that as our crews go around and our foremen go around and see if there's enough to put that crew together. It really doesn't make sense if we have to send a Bobcat out and a loader out and two dump trucks to get one on West Rome, South Rome. So we'll assess that, see if we need to bring that back for a week or 2 weeks and scatter that and do those pickups of loose bulk green waste. We know there is still some debris from tornado cleanup. People did do it last fall, or maybe they're doing it this spring already. So we do still have some responsibility on that. We're getting calls for Christmas trees now that the snow's melted. So I don't know if people had them in their backyards or in a snow pile after Christmas in the new year. So we are still picking those up also, but we will address the bulk pickup if we need it. And for your point on getting that on the website, I'll make sure that Amanda gets that out on the website also. I know it was on the social media sites, but we will get it on the website.
Okay, good. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Councilor Mordis.
President, as a current member of this council, sorry. President Nash, sorry. I just want to start by just going back to the comment. You said how South Rome, New York.
Turn your mic on.
I can tell you South Rome, Ridge Street, not orphans. I'm still dealing with two properties with tornado damage. So South Rome isn't orphans. And that isn't to mention all the damage from the snow collapses. I have houses, garages, and commercial building that actually Rome Fire had went to that I'm dealing with. So I bring this up to you, Ms. Lubeck. You're not the only one in South Rome that are still dealing with it, still have to look at it. It's not Sanford and Son in South Rome on Bridge Street.
Nope.
So
Taylor, you cannot talk back, please. Thank
you. Again, I'm not disputing it. I just want you to know that area, that specific street, that one building that you're talking about, isn't the only problem in the city, like you had mentioned. Trust me, you're not orphans. I deal with it daily. Actually, Fred Fox is not happy with me, and I know I'm not. But when you stand up there, Ms. Lubeck, and say that you're orphans, you're not. The next thing I want to bring up is to Mr. Capone's issue with the fire truck. I'm just going to piggyback off Commissioner White, if you don't mind, Commissioner. It was the last administration that had dropped the ball on that fire truck. I was here. We had designated, like Mr. Capone said, money from ARPA for the fire truck. When they don't order it, that's not my fault after it was approved. That money got put back in the pot from ARPA and got voted on by this council. Every dollar from ARPA got voted on by this council. So to answer your question, where did that money go? Put back in the pot and got voted on. A matter of fact, when we voted on another fire truck for the fire department, That's where part of that money went. They got a new rescue out of that ARPA money. It wasn't designated when this money was for the fire truck, the engine. Chief will tell you, Chief Grotch, him and I always haven't seen eye to eye. He actually called me last week. And that was the best conversation him and I had had in years. Because at the end of the day, this city's moving forward. Public safety is moving forward. It's very important. Now, Mr. Capone's point, public safety is my main priority. This police department in this city and this fire department, nobody is going to tell me or show me after my career of being sitting up here that those two departments don't get what they need to protect our city. And it really bothers me and upsets me that people out there are worried about a fire truck with this administration. I can tell you, this new administration brought a K-9 unit back that our last administration got rid of. So what's that tell you? This administration's moving forward and doing something correctly with public safety. They're the ones that are bringing this fire truck that should have been ordered by now. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Councilor. Councilor Fazio.
President Nash, members of the council. Ms. Lubach, the building in question, okay, there has been meetings with the owners, with the mayor. They have been canceled twice by the owners. Okay. Now, we just can't go in and tear down a building that is owned and the people are paying taxes on it. We can't do that. Okay, it's going to come to either they don't want the building anymore and they're going to end up giving it to the city and it'll become city-owned and then we can tear it down. But it's a process that all of the buildings in South Rome that are damaged, the houses down there, that we have to go through a certain legal process, which that takes time. And I do ride through South Rome 3 times a week. I am up and down those streets, taking a look and taking pictures, and I do send it to codes. You know, all right. But as far as, you know, for the houses and stuff, yes, it does look bad. The old fireplace on the boulevard there, they're starting to tear that one down. Okay, Long's Auto, that finally came to an agreement, but it takes time. We just can't go in there and pull it down. And it's...
Kelly, you cannot talk. If you'd like to speak to Councilor Fazio, you can do it after the meeting, okay?
And as far as for having a shuttle for the kids, there's public transportation that they can take, but as far as for providing a shuttle for South Rome children, okay, if you provided a shuttle for South Rome, you would have to provide a shuttle for West Rome, you know, and where is that money coming from? It would be taxpayers' money. That's where it would come from. I mean, are you going to pay for it? You know, everything costs. And you would have to have insurance liability. And that's a big cost to the city when you're transporting children like that. You know, and as far as for the school lunch programs, that's a state federal that was passed. Okay. And the other two, if you can give me the addresses for the house on Washington Street and also on Embargo Street, I'd greatly appreciate it. And I will look into that. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilor Fazio. Councilor Spraglia.
President Nash, members of the council, I just want to address Ms. Lubeck's concern and request for the busing for the children. I am the chairman of the Parks, Recreation, and Youth Activities Committee. I'm not sure if everybody is aware. We currently are doing a study funded by $200,000 that we took out of the ARPA budget for a parks master plan, which hasn't been done since, I think, around 2005 or 2006. Every single park in the city is being looked at. And we have a professional firm called Fisher & Associates doing it. I can't tell you what's going to be done at Griesick because I haven't, we haven't gotten any reports back yet, but we will have public meetings. People will be able to give their input on what they think we should have at the parks. So it's not, I think we're putting the cart before the horse in respect to having transportation. I'm not against that if that's what it came down to. But I did want to let you know that we are looking at every single park. There will be changes. There will be additions. I cannot speak to what those are right now until we get into the gist of the matter with the Fisher & Associates. But again, we will have public meetings. My idea is to probably have a representative from each ward to be on that committee to help us with our decisions. So that's something you might want to think about in the future if we get to that point. But we will do everything we can. The mayor's priority is also on the youth and the parks and the recreation. I know we have currently 20 plus parks in the city spread all over. I have like four or five just in my district alone. So I'm very well aware of it. And I have talked to Matt Andrews from Community and Economic Development. Told them that I want to be a part of everything that they're a part of with this Parks Master Plan. So as soon as I get more information, I can get back to you on that. But just to let you know, we are looking for after it. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilor Spry. Yeah. Anyone else? Commissioner Giuliano. I sent you an email last night about an intersection and the lights. I pulled over the road and I wrote and I sent the email. As I was driving, I found six other ones. And then as I was coming here, coming on Washington Liberty, same situation with those. So I'm requesting that you have your electrical department check all the lights across the city. The issue is that these intersections, the crosswalks are saying that you can't go both ways, no matter which one's green. So people are crossing at their peril, basically. So it's an unsafe situation.
Here. President Nash, yes, I did get your email. The Boulevard concern, the one that you sent was East Thomas and Black River Boulevard. Mm-hmm. That was sent on to New York State DOT. They control the intersections on the Boulevard. So that was sent to their traffic division. I did not hear if they got to, they didn't respond. Well, not that they didn't respond. They didn't tell me whether that was corrected or not. The issue at Liberty and Washington, I will have our electrical department look at that first thing in the morning.
I have a list here. I'll give it to you after the meeting.
Yes, sir.
The ones that I ran across last night.
Okay. Very good. Thank you.
James, if after the meeting you come up and see me, give me the address of that house on George Street and your phone number, and I'll do some checking and find out what's going on with that, okay? And Bonnie, I'll have a date for you on the cleanup next meeting, okay?
My recognition.
Sure. Councilor Smith.
Okay. Tonight, I want to give recognition to the life of a community member and his many contributions to our city. Thomas Keneally passed away March 21st. Of this year. I have known Tom and his family for many years, going back to when Tom and his wife Mary Ann were members of the Gansport School PTG. Tom has lived in the Fourth Ward and contributed to the quality of life in our neighborhood as well as our whole community. He was committed to his family, community, love of country, and known for the great support he had of veterans. Our city is fortunate to have known Tom as a community member. His values and interests in the city in our country sets an example for community members to follow of how they can make a positive contribution to our community. Just wanted to make sure that people here recognized him for the years of service that he has given to our community and the many times he has appeared here right up until, I believe, a few months ago to our meetings. Thank you.
True American hero.
Yeah.
In light of that, I'd like to take a moment of silence to honor Tom. Thank you. Any further reports? Councilor Dursley.
President Nash, members of council, President Nash, we're still on general city affairs, or are we on committees yet?
We are on councilors, but we...
Okay, well, I'll just do this one then. I do know when the city is doing a cleanup. The cleanup is Saturday, April 19th from 10 to 12 at the Rome Oriskany Trailhead, or the Stanwix Heights, the Stanwix Trailhead, and that is led by the Rome Waterways and Trails Advocacy Group. If you go to Facebook and look that up again, RWTAG or Rome Waterways and Trails Advocacy Group, they have a place to sign up so they know how much stuff they need, bags or so on and so forth. So that's where the cleanup will be. We're trying to get the waterways during that area. Thanks.
Thank you. Take that one off my list then. report of committees. Dr. Dursley.
President Nash, members of the council, the DPW committee, Councilor Fazio and Councilor Anderson and myself and President Nash, we all met with Commissioner Giuliano, and we had a good meeting on the 19th. I'm just going to give a couple little highlights of important things that I think are that we went over. This is not all inclusive. The demolition of St. Peter's Church went off smoothly. We're waiting for the land to settle a little bit more before moving forward on any other things. The ADA plan for the public buildings will be looked at more closely, and Commissioner Giuliano's going to be the lead to that. Northwest Water Improvements project is starting to move forward. That's really important for the people in the Sixth Ward, especially in the developments up North Rome, to make sure they get their pressure regulator valve installed soon so we can move forward with this and everybody can have the pressure they need, because the water tower is really close to being opened. City Hall project is going well. Obviously slower than anticipated. There's some issues with the tornado and unforeseen things. And that brought us to proposed work on the cold milling. We all got a tentative cold milling list for the public to know. The city of Rome spends roughly $340,000 in each ward to fix the roads. We've done this every year since I've been on the council, and I'm sure it's gone back before me. It's a tentative list. Commissioner Giuliano was a little worried that we might have to move some of those roads because of the freeze-thaw cycle, and it came out so early and it was such a rough winter. So please, everybody understand that we're still assessing what roads are needed the most. Unfortunately, $340,000 does not go as far as it used to. New York State DOT projects, we're right-sizing the Wheels to Heels program right over here on Erie Boulevard. And we already addressed the issues with Longs and possible Ridge Street stuff. The train station engineering study is coming through, and we're looking to start work on that now. And just one other thing, lead pipes. I reached out and called in on my lead pipes. The city is not going to make you change your lead pipes. This is not a mandate from the city to say, gotcha, we're going to make you spend money on things. This has nothing to do with anything related to water meters. It is nothing more than a mandate from the federal government, from the EPA, saying that we need to know where there's lead issues. There were lead issues in other states. We all have heard of Flint, Michigan, and those issues there. The federal government came in and said, we need to do these things. Commissioner Giuliano is moving forward to make sure Rome is not held liable for these things. And if we have an understanding of where the lead pipes are, we can move forward at that point with possible scenarios or plans to remediate. But until we know what's out there, we can't even begin to know what to do. So there's a lot of things there. And I do want to just say one other thing. Thank you to the commissioner for getting the spring cleanup stuff out so quickly. We talked about that last week, and he said, as soon as we can, we'll get it out there. I know it's been tough transferring the snow plows to the dump trucks and taking them off and moving around. And God knows, I mean, we had snow today. So thanks for getting that out quick. And I know at least one of my constituents on some of the streets in North Rome will be quite happy about the leaf pickups. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilor Ducey. Further report to committees? Councilor Anderson.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. Just to piggyback on what Councilor Ducey said about the lead pipe survey, at the last council meeting, Mr. Giuliano, you mentioned you had a little over 100 responses to the survey, and that you needed 500. Can you give us an updated status since you mentioned it? I think, much like the green waste, the more we mention it, the closer you're going to get to your goal. I'm hoping every time we explain it more, it kills some of the confusion that's in the neighborhood. That, much like what Mr. Ducey mentioned, this is not to raise your rates or anything like that. It's an unfunded mandate. And the first step of it is the survey, but you can speak to it better than I can.
Councilor Anderson, yes, the lead copper revision rule came out 4 years ago. It was an EPA mandate that all municipalities have to inventory where they can on all services, inventory those services, whether they're lead, copper, or galvanized. So that's what we're in the process now for. We have just under 2 years left to do that. We have to update that every year. Our first submission to the EPA was done October of 2024. The next two Octobers, 2025 and 2026, the city has to show progress to the EPA on those inventories, on those submissions. Currently in May, there is funding opportunities that the city wants to apply for if we can. And that relies on our inventory moving progressively. EPA wants to see up to 500 services inventoried with pictures, with proof. That's what we're relying on the self-reporting of the residents to do right now. The city doesn't have the forces to go into 500 houses and schedule to go into houses and make arrangements to get in and do our own inspections. So we've asked the residents to self-report. That's what the notices pertain to. That's what all of our public service announcements pertain to. Friday, my assistant, Kelsey Beach, the mayor, Kim Rogers, we are going to Copper City Connections, the former Ava Dorfman, I can't think of the proper name. We're doing a presentation there to the members there, and we're going to explain a little more about the lead and just keep getting it out and helping, in this case, the elderly. Maybe if they have a question, what do I have to take a picture of? What am I looking for? We have samples of lead lines. We have samples of copper lines, and we're going to bring the forms with us. Kelsey's going to be with me. With her laptop, she may be able to do some self-inspections right there if one of the members there that shows up has a picture of their service. So we're trying to get out there. The more self-reporting that we can obtain before May, before we have to apply for this grant and show how many we have indexed, will help. If we have to, we're going to go to a process called machine learning, where we think we know the lead services are or could be, and use some of our work orders and notes from the past from our water department to predict what those are. They're not as strong in our grant process when we apply for that grant, but at least we'll have something to back our grant application with. So that's what we're looking for. We're looking for that 500 number. We have increased. We were at one a week getting a call, one or two over a weekend. We're up to a couple a day now. Not that that gets us to the 500 by May. But we'll keep putting it out on social media. We'll keep putting it out in these meetings. And we're going out in the public. We'll get to town hall meetings and put those pamphlets and get more information out to the public as much as we can. That's what we need to do. So.
Okay, good. Thank you. I also wanted to report that the Finance Committee met yesterday with Treasurer Adams. I want to thank my colleagues, Councilor Dursey and Councilor Spraglia. We had a very good meeting with Mr. Adams. You know, it's this time of year starts to get very busy, not only for all of us with our taxes, but also for Mr. Adams in terms of the finances, because we're moving into the audit season and then into the budget season. Believe it or not, it's the end of March, but he's already working on the 2026 budget. So we talked about a little bit about that. We talked about the D'Arcangelo audit that's annually done. We talked about revenues. We talked about where we were year to date with expenses. So it was a very informative meeting. I want to compliment Treasurer Brian Adams. He's always very well prepared in our meetings. A couple of us mentioned the summary memos, that the emails that he sends out after the Common Council agenda is published are very helpful in understanding everything. So once again, we had an excellent meeting, excellent dialogue, and looking forward to the rest of 2026. Thank you.
Thank you, Counselor. Anyone else? On to resolutions. Resolution number 46.
Accepting donation presented to the City of Rome, $10,000 by Mohawk Valley Materials.
Move it.
Councilor Sprace.
Second.
Councilor Anderson. Resolution number 46 is moved and seconded. There's any discussion? Councilor Sprace.
Thank you, President Nash. I just want to thank Mohawk Valley Materials for giving this $10,000 to get one of our canine units back on with the PD. I think this is a nice, you know, gesture, and I think it's going to help out our city because we are, you know, public safety oriented, and this is going to help. It never should have been taken away to begin with. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilor Sprace. Councilor Anderson.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. I want to echo what Councilor Sprace said. And thank Mohawk Valley Materials for this generous donation. I was personally quite disappointed when the canine unit was discontinued. I had many discussions with Chief Beach at the time, and I guess we agreed to disagree. I think the canine unit is very, very important in this day and age. And you know, in talking to some of my friends that are actually canine officers in other agencies. You know, this day and age, a city police department needs a canine unit. I want to thank the chief for his support of it, as well as the mayor, because I think this is a step in the right direction. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilor Anderson. Any further discussion? All those in favor of resolution number 46, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, resolution number 46 is carried. Resolution number 47.
Authorizing waiver of all fees for the police civil service exam on May 3rd, 2025.
Move it.
Councilor Sprace.
Second.
Councilor Spraglia. Resolution number 47 has been moved and seconded. Is there any discussion? All those in favor of resolution number 47, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, resolution number 47 is carried. Resolution number 48.
Resolution determining that action to undertake a certain project will not have a significant effect on the environment.
Move it.
Councilor Anderson.
Second.
Councilor Dursey. Resolution number 48 has been moved and seconded. Is there any discussion? All those in favor of resolution number 48, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, resolution number 48 is carried. Resolution number 49.
Appointing Commissioner of Deeds.
So move.
Councilor Mortis.
Second.
Councilor Fazio. Resolution number 49 has been moved and seconded. Is there any discussion? All those in favor of resolution number 49, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, resolution number 49 is carried. Ordinances. Ordinance number 9774.
authorizing the issuance of $1,200,000 bonds of the City of Rome, Oneida County, New York, to finance the purchase of a motor vehicle used for fighting fires.
Move it.
Councilor Anderson.
Second.
Councilor Spraglia.
Unanimous consent.
Councilor Mortis.
Second.
Councilor Sprace. Ordinance number 9774 has been moved and seconded. Unanimous consent has been moved and seconded. All those in favor of unanimous consent say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, unanimous consent is carried. Is there any discussion? All those in favor of ordinance number 9774 say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, ordinance number 9774 is carried. Ordinance number 9775.
Authorizing mayor of the City of Rome to approve the sale of city-owned parcel 411 West Thomas Street, tax map number 242.033-0002-022 to buyer for $4,000.
Move it.
Councilor Smith.
Second.
Councilor Fazio.
Unanimous consent.
Councilor Dursey.
Second.
Councilor Anderson. Ordinance number 9775 has been moved and seconded. Unanimous consent has been moved and seconded. All those in favor of unanimous consent say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, unanimous consent is carried. Is there any discussion? All those in favor of ordinance number 9775 say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, ordinance number 9775 is carried. The chair will entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Councilor Smith.
Second.
Councilor Dursey. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, we are adjourned. Thank you all for coming tonight.